Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We welcome you to the show. Today is the 4th of July, and I'm sure everybody is out celebrating Thursday, July 4th. And our calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, that puts you in queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Happy 4th of July, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. I wish I were there at the family reunion with you, but that's not what's in the cards at this point. So I'm in Theodosia, Missouri at Heartland getting ready. Excuse me for being out of breath. I've been just running around and kind of unpacking the van and getting things ready for the summer season, doing some weed whacking and just a little bit of everything that needs to be done to get ready to go. So we're delighted to have this space to be with everybody, to share these tools, and in particular, to honor the ancient Aramaic teachings of the man named Yeshua, and in particular, to understand what he taught us about how to forgive. And, of course, when we talk about forgiveness, we're not talking about the Greek idea that's been substituted for forgiveness in our culture. We're not talking about I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me and hope that things will get better, but rather we're talking about the actual technology that Yeshua taught 2,000 years ago. And he showed exactly how to go inside your own mind and remove the root of all pain, of all trauma, of all things that rob you of human life. And we have a simple definition for a human life, and it's got nothing to do with the intellect. We try to figure things out with our minds, and the truth is we can't figure them out. We can only engage in the tools. And so rather than letting other people off the hook, we're going to encourage you, if you are in some kind of pain or turmoil, to remove everything unlike your human life. What is your human life? Hold a newborn child, you know exactly what it is. That's humanness. And sadly, we live in a world, you know, the ancient scriptures say there'll come a time when the whole world will be fooled. And the whole world has been fooled. That kill, murder, war, rage, grief, guilt, pain, at them for all the things they've done are perfectly appropriate. And we don't realize that in order to engage in those insanities, the thing we do is give up our human lives. And so what we're here to do is to reclaim human life, to live once again, as Yeshua said, as a child, to go back to that innocence, that pureness, that sweetness, that awesome presence of love that we are each designed to be. And, of course, to do that, all you have to do is face everything in your generations that is unlike love. That ancient story in the scriptures of the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years. That desert is a code word for the unconscious. And most people wander for about 40 years before they start to wake up and go, you know, there's something else going on here. And if you remember, in order to get out of that desert, that unconscious state, what had to happen was they said the old generation had to die off. And that didn't mean everybody in old physical bodies had to physically die. The root of the word generation is genari. It means cause. All of the causes based in hostility or fear within our genetics, within our bloodline, within our culture must be removed. And it is removed through forgiveness. Who'd have thunk it? Forgiveness is a tool for removing content from your mind, from your body, from your emotions, and most particularly from your genetics. What you refuse to face in you and remove, you condemn your future generations to live in. And, of course, we look at those generations and we say, well, gee, why are they doing all that crazy stuff? Well, we were the start, the beginning of all of that. And we've just carried on the tradition of our generations, and it's time to let go of the generations and really, truly be restored to this human life. And that's what we're here to support you in. We hold a space for an awesome July the 4th, this celebration of independence, and the independence not from some people across the ocean, but rather the independence from the insanity within ourselves. That outer is just a symbol. And when we let go of those thoughts that pretend to be king in us, those thoughts based in hostility, fear, rage, grief, and guilt, those thoughts that somebody else is the problem in our lives, and we let go of that king, we declare independence from that and are restored to the truth of who we are, human beings, the awesome presence of love. And so that's what we're here to support. That's what our community is about, and we appreciate everybody in the world, those who may not know or realize that it's so-called Independence Day here in America today. Those who are around the world listening to the show, it is the day when America celebrates its independence from Britain, but really there's a deeper meaning to it. Independence from insanity, independence from the control of hostility and fear, and really truly living as human beings. So that's what we're here to do, and we're delighted that you're with us. And Jeannie, have we got Dr. Tim with us today? We missed him yesterday.
We do have him, and he's on.
Well, let's say hello to Dr. Tim. How do you be, sir?
I'm doing beautifully, thank you.
Awesome.
I trust you had a good show yesterday.
We had an awesome show yesterday. It was very powerful. Actually, Carrie, you know, Carrie has been with us on the show for about 2 years and has really shared a lot of her process with us and went through a major, major experience yesterday on the show. So it was pretty powerful.
Wonderful.
Pretty sweet.
I'll go back and listen on the archive, which is one of the great benefits of this program.
Yeah, I am so delighted that we have, you know, we've got, what, I don't know, probably 700 or 800 shows now, 700 or 800 hours of documenting these ideas. And, you know, they're here for eternity now in digital format, spreading around the globe. It's pretty cool. No king is going to be able to put an end to that. It's just on go. It's moving.
That's wonderful. Well, we had a delightful support group on Tuesday night, and on my way to the support group, someone texted me with an apology that they weren't going to be able to be in the support group, and a phenomenal testimonial about the nature of this work. And
Tell us about it.
Well, she's in her 50s, and she was told she had to have the old kind of open-heart surgery where they crack the breastbone and go in and repair valves and all that good stuff. And so she was basically in a panic. Lots of fear, lots of panic, lots of tears about fear of dying and fear of the not recovering. And so when she came in for her session, more than a week before, she basically couldn't quit crying. And so, because she was so agitated, instead of doing a written worksheet, I just stepped her through it and had her breathe and dab with the Kleenex. And basically, we just went through the worksheet process verbally with me coaching her. So she wrote me this text on Tuesday that arrived as I was heading to the group, and it said, I know you have mind shifters tonight, and I would come except it's my granddaughter's last softball game. I just wanted to share what a complete and peaceful feeling I had after we did the worksheet process. Even when thinking of my fear afterwards and the days to follow, there were no tears and no anxiety. I was at a zero disturbance level. That was even before I found out that my surgery was canceled because the most recent tests showed the problem wasn't as bad as they had thought. So she is going to come back to the group.
Oh, that old misdiagnosis excuse.
Yeah. And she said, please feel free to share this with the group and have a wonderful weekend.
That's pretty awesome. Now that is independence.
And then when we got to the group, we watched the second half of Healing Through Relationship. And when I opened the question and answer section after the video in a short break, one gentleman shared that he's been coming and using these tools for about 2 years now. And he had a 6 to 8 day period since the last time he was in the group where every conceivable thing that could go wrong went wrong. Physical problems, he had to take a cross-country car trip, mechanical problems in the trailer, mechanical problems with the car, more physical problems, headaches, stomach problems. And he was just amazed at how differently he handled that extensive period of disruption compared to what it would have been for him a year or two ago. He said, and you could feel his emotion in the room as he talked about his amazement that he never got upset. He just kept saying, well, I wonder how this will work out and what's the next thing to do. And this is a person who began coming to the groups because he had a raging problem. And he had a teenager who was either about to go to college or in his first year of college, and they did nothing but clash heads. And so that's why he decided he needed to try something differently. And so here he is 2 years later with things he normally would have been, you know, screaming and raging about and shutting down about, and he said he just breezed through it. And people were amazed that know him that he didn't react in his usual way. And so it was just a phenomenal testimonial about the practical results we get when we apply these tools in our lives. So I was just excited to share that with you and just recommend again to everybody listening that you either attend a support group or start a support group or start using the tools on your own, because the results are amazing.
It is pretty awesome when, and you know, the simple explanation for all of that is that, you know, when one does the work, nobody promises there aren't going to be problems, that there aren't going to be challenges in our lives. But what do you bring to the challenge? Do you bring the mind of Christ? Do you bring the mind of love? Do you bring your human life? Or do you bring a mind of drama, trauma, and make things worse? And, you know, to me, that's they're both examples of. And, you know, I have no doubt that quite likely their quote-unquote diagnosis was probably quite accurate for this woman. And as she dealt with the pain and trauma, literally, because physiology isn't physical. Physical is an appearance, according to Yeshua. He says, don't judge by appearances. And we know from a physics point of view that matter is energy organized into form. And when you touch into what's behind the matter, and if it's hostility, fear, grief, rage, and guilt, then the matter, the so-called body, is going to be distorted. It's going to be traumatized. And it heals. You know, the miraculous aspect is that when you bring the human life to things, when you bring the active presence of love, as Yeshua taught to do, then everything changes. And, you know, it's so powerful that he said, it's the first law. That's the first thing you got to do. And when we do it, it changes everything. Doesn't mean everything's cool, but it does mean that everything's different. So that's pretty cool. Nice work. Thank you, Doc, for being on the team and supporting people in that awareness and bringing
there was a third piece that came up yesterday.
Oh, sure.
I was up early and making veggies for the week and listening to Way of Mastery. And one of those knowings came to me. I don't remember exactly what was being said in the Way of Mastery, but I all of a sudden was overcome with this knowing that when people are talking with any kind of a sense of panic about how we have to hurry up and get to critical mass and we have to hurry up and change this and hurry up and change that, they're operating from fear. And the message I got so clearly yesterday morning, you know, like 6 in the morning while standing in the kitchen working on vegetables, was this is really a joy thing. This work and the transformation that happens only comes when you're in connection to the love energy. And if you're coming at it from the perspective of, oh my gosh, this is horrible, we're in a panic. Remember our caller on Monday who had such fears about the scientists and the horrible things that are being done, and when you stepped him through some ideas for worksheets, and he called back on Tuesday, you could just hear, before he even said what was going on, you could hear the difference in his voice. He had lightened and brightened up, and that's really what this is about. It's really about the love energy and the joy. It's not about the fear. When these transformations happen, it's because we tap into the joyful part of our existence. So that was another big thing that came up yesterday, and it's one of the reasons I really like the Way of Mastery is it's gentle, it's fun, it's poetic, it's joyful, and that was an insight I got yesterday I wanted to share.
Cool. Yeah, it's always amazing. It just amazes me over the years of doing this work, over the decades, is just watching what happens to everything when human life is present. It just, you know, it's beyond words. And we get to experience it so often in this show, and the appreciation I have for everybody who holds the space as we move forward, holds the space for every person that comes to the show with something traumatic and recognizes that we each play a part in being support for each other. You know, Yeshua said, when two or more are gathered, and as we gather in the name of that active presence of love and our human lives, everything has to shift. So it's pretty cool.
Agreed. It's an honor and a joy to be here on the team.
You know, you remind me of an event that happened back several months ago. You know, Rex shared a lot with us about the passing of his son, and when I went up there and breathed his daughter, did still point with his daughter, who was very close to her brother, that when she came out of the breathing session, totally connected to love, totally connected to joy, you know, it was kind of interesting because her concern was, what are people going to think of me because I'm not in trauma about my brother passing away? I'm in joy. I'm in a connected space of love. And what she said was, and I thought it was really powerful, she said, and I realized that I'm going to learn and I'm learning how to relate to my brother differently. He's not in his body now, but still in existence, and she's learning to relate to him differently than she did when he was in his body. And, you know, it's just so empowering in every venue to watch what happens. I remember several years ago a woman who was actually the wife of a medical doctor, and she came to just a one-day Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. and she had been diagnosed the week before with breast cancer. And it's verified, you know, they've got the x-rays, and there it is, as big as death. And because she's a physician's wife, she's on the fast track for surgery the next week. She came and did a one-day Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. And when she went back in the next week, they did the x-rays to, you know, determine the margins as to where they're going to cut and all. And they are shocked because they can't find a sign of a tumor. It's not there. Now, if you think you've got a physical body, that's ridiculous. But when you realize that what you have is an energy system and that every energy that is in the system that doesn't belong there creates disease processes, then you realize that you have the ability to change those disease processes. And the key is, as Paul said 2,000 years ago, you do it by transforming your mind. You don't do it by hanging out in the old mind energy of fear, hostility, grief, rage, guilt, pain, drama, and trauma. You do it by engaging in the tools of the man who knew how to do it and showed us how to do it. You know, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that, in that context, as an idiom, a man in his teaching were one. And he's saying, hey, guys, I've given you the tools. Now get off your buns and do your work. You got work to do. You got to stop this grief and rage and pain and war and trauma and drama. You've got to do something different. And that happens when we transform our minds. And of course, there's that African proverb that I love to quote that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I appreciate everybody who chooses to be with us and move together into these, the understanding and the true application of these awesome, awesome teachings that he brought to us. It's just such a delight. So any themes in your practice and your work today, Dr. Tam?
Well, it's no patience today, but yesterday the theme was just what you just started talking about. There were three different people who were in sessions and realizing that when they first started coming into sessions, things were changing. And now for the past month or so, things are kind of stalled. And when we took a look at how much they were doing work between sessions, they realized, oh, I quit working between sessions. And when I quit working between sessions, I'm not making any progress. So they realized, you know, the magic isn't in Dr. Tim and his beautiful visage and his mellow toned voice. The magic is in them applying the tools to their own life. So that would be the theme. It's not me healing.
Yeah, doing your
anybody.
Work is definitely the key, isn't it? Doing the work. And, you know, lots of people want to just believe but not step into the actual process. You know, I think yesterday with Carrie we had a really powerful example of someone doing their work as opposed to just saying, well, I believe everything's going to be okay, actually going inside themselves and literally working on the release and the removal of the hostility, the fear, the grief, the rage, the pain, so that the active presence of love shows up, so that that spirit of life that is in us, that in Aramaic it was said will undo the effects of our errors and teach us the truth, has the space to really truly show up. We have a part in the process. It's not just something that happens automatically. And what tends to happen is that the tools and the process get lost in the belief or the hope that somebody else is going to do it for us. And we have work to do. And it's awesome to have a community that's about really, truly doing the work of Yeshua and integrating it into life. It's pretty powerful, pretty cool.
Yeah, and, you know, you bring up some thoughts there because the experiences I've had over the years, I've had it a number of times even before running into you, but you and I have known some people together who they jump into premature positive thinking or they jump into meditation that's going to solve everything. And if all I'm doing is getting quiet and going inside, but I'm not really understanding my internal process or using some tools to get rid of my genetic history and my inherited energetic patterns, and I can stay as stuck as if I had, you know, 180 pounds of concrete around my feet and I'm dropped in a lake. It's, if I don't have the tools and apply them, I can be meditating several times a day and still be a raving maniac whenever I'm not meditating. So.
Yeah, I have a friend who was almost a professional meditator. He really was committed to the process, and over a period of 20 years, he would really religiously every day, twice a day, meditate. And when there was trauma going on in his life, he'd meditate even more. And it was interesting. It was like I could watch him create a trauma and an insanity in his life, and then he'd go running off to, oh, I got to go meditate, and try to quiet his mind and pretend nothing was there. And then he'd go off and create more trauma. And he was, at least as I saw it, he was using the meditation as a drug, a way to drug himself, rather than stepping in and actually doing his work. And the whole process is that of stepping in and really truly doing our work. That's what makes the changes.
Agreed.
All right, well, Jeannie, do we have any callers or anything happening in the chat room? Anybody with a hand up in the call queue?
We do have one hand up. It's
area 352.
You're on here. Who do we have?
352, welcome. Give us a name. Where are you calling from? Hello, 352. You are on the air. Well, looks like you must have stepped away from the phone, sweetie.
Okay, that's the only hand that we have up. And the chat room's real quiet. So, again, our calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in line. Oh, we just had another hand go up. Area code 607, you're on the air.
Cool, welcome. 607.
Michael and Jeannie, it's Richard. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, sir. How do you be, young man?
Well, feeling much better.
Good.
I had an incident, you guys were talking about fear and hostility, and I had an instance today where I ran into a former coworker, and this former coworker proceeded to tell me that another former coworker had been left go a number of years ago, is back in town, and he's still wanting to get revenge upon me and a friend of mine, feeling that we're the reason why he was dismissed from the lab, and I was told to stay clear of him if I saw him. So talk about fear and hostility in our lives. I mean, certainly, you know, I could feel that negative gut feeling whenever he told me that, you know, and you know, I realized that, you know, fear and hostility has been a big part of my life, and appreciate the work that you guys have been teaching, because I certainly want to be rid of this and be done with it in my own life and live from a space of love instead of a space of fear and hostility. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, and not sure how. I guess I'll be doing a worksheet on this because I just got back home and from being out whenever I got on the show and making lunch. So I haven't had time to sit down and do a worksheet around it yet, but certainly I'm all there with you guys from wanting to live from a space of love and not from a space of hostility and fear. So thank you very much for your work.
Well, and the beauty of what you bring forward to us, Richard, is that when someone shows up like that, they're actually the gift in our lives that shows us what our next piece of work is. And when we're willing to do our next piece of work, that's when things change. So you're right on track. That's awesome.
Well, again, thank you for the tools to work around these issues in my life.
Glad to be on the team, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. And, of course, those who never work through those issues in their lives get to live the title of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? If you never go inside and change those internal dynamics, then because you're made in the image and likeness of the Creator and are therefore a creator, the dynamics you create out of don't change if you don't change your mind. And it's an active process to step inside ourselves and do that work. So at the same time as you say thank you for the tools for doing it, thank you for being the space where you're willing to do it, because you're the person that enlarges the ability of every person to have it accessible, because by your simply engaging and using the tools and doing your work, you literally open the energy window for others. And so thank you for being on the team and being part of it. Every person who joins the team strengthens that critical mass. And Yeshua, you know, 2,000 years ago said a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. I think we are safe to assume that he was not talking about bread. He was talking about we as humanity, that it takes a core. It takes a critical mass of people who are willing to do what it takes to shift their own minds, their own hearts, their own thoughts, and literally to be transformed. So thank you for the willingness to be part of the transformation, because that's what expands it and helps to make it happen. Gracias. So, Dee, do we have any other callers? Anything else happening in the chat room? Anybody with a hand up in the phone queue?
We do have another hand up.
I was kind of wondering.
Okay.
I was just going to say, I was kind of wondering, with it being July 4th, how the attendance would be in the chat room and in the phone queue. So we'll chat about that later. But, yeah, let's listen to our next caller.
Okay. We actually have 15 callers on the switchboard, and we only have one person in the chat room. So,
so
our
small
next caller,
yeah.
Our next caller is area code 517. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, this is Tony.
Hey there, sir. How do you be? How'd that mind shifter go?
Good, good. I brought up
awesome.
Actually. It took me in a tear as right as I began working with it, so it was a pretty good mind shifter. I was working on another mind shifter this morning, and I ended up in what I was writing, I started to write a bunch of messages or beliefs that I've gotten or have about what it is to be a man or to be a perfect man. And so I had a list of things like men are someone who can beat up other people, protect his family and property, take charge and tells others what to do, keeps emotions hidden, can achieve exactly what he sets out to do, does it on his own, is chiseled, big and strong, uses his mind to figure things out, can withstand pain, uses force to get things done, does it his own way. And so I'm calling because I was wondering how I would go about working on canceling these beliefs. And the thought that I had that came to me was to put all of those into the goal that I would have to be a perfect man, and work and just lump them all together as one goal in a worksheet. And I'm just so I'm kind of wanting your input on what you think about that. And when you do write a mind shifter, and you have a bunch of beliefs that come up, and what's the best way that you have of addressing those that come up in a mind shifter?
My take would be that, yes, go ahead and do it as a lump. And then, because, you know, in order to produce this hologram, we know scientifically that the world does not exist in any way, shape, or form that we see it in, that there's something else going on. There's something underneath the surface. Our bodies don't exist the way we see them. What we look at in the mirror It's a picture in the mind created by the firing of, you know, perhaps a billion different files, so to speak, in the mind to produce that hologram. And, you know, there's a book called The Holographic Universe. You might find interesting reading. And so in order to change the output of the mind, what you're looking at doing is changing the root of the hologram. And that means that every file that you use, like all those descriptors that you just gave us that are insane about men, you know, have to do it on their own, blah, 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 all of that. You know, Darwin gave us the idea of survival of the fittest, which is one of the biggest lies that ever existed. It is not survival of the fittest. It is survival of the most cooperative, thriving as the most cooperative. And, you know, that African proverb that we repeated that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. The people who are going to go far are those who live and function in community and function together, not the tough guys who, you know, do it on their own and pretend that they are a wall or a pillar of strength. And so my input would be that every one of those ideas would be a separate file in the mind, so to speak, that you'd want to weaken through forgiveness, that you'd want to remove the insane content that calls to you. Like, for instance, that one about, you know, men just push their way through and beat up on anybody that gets in the way. Well, now we've got war. Now we've got death. It's like, who cares what you accomplish? If what you're doing is killing people to do it, where does that get you as a human being? It actually destroys human life. So that would be a worksheet around that particular issue. So my input would be that you take each of those issues and do a separate worksheet. You know, if say for instance I watched Dad as he beat his way through the world and seemed to come out on top, then I would be looking at my goal to come out on top and to be like Dad. And if Dad wasn't living a human life, why would I want to be like Dad? It's time to let go of that one and get back to living a human life. And as you do that, then you're empowered to model something different for your son. So I'd offer that each worksheet that you collapse its content, that you weaken its content through forgiveness, is going to collapse that part of the mind that supports a guidance system that keeps us in those old insane dynamics. Does that make sense?
Yep. So, like, going in the right direction using those, like filling them in the goal area, or would I look at each one and, like you did, maybe bring up some kind of a personal memory and put that in number 1A and just work from that direction, or are you following me on how to, you know,
yes,
draw up?
My input would be all of the above.
Yeah.
You do each of them. No one approach is exclusive of any other approach.
Yeah.
So that would be my highest thought, is to do each of them as individual worksheets. And or you might take some of them and turn them into mind shifters. You might take some of them, you know, if you look at that, interaction and trying to do follow the modeling of Dad, that might be the space where you go to Dad and you say, no, you know, Dad, I can remember watching you and the trauma that you went through as a young man trying to, you know, make it happen in the world and blah, 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 and pull out the commitment and speak the commitment to Dad and open the space maybe for Dad to start to process some of the burdens and some of the loads that he's carried that, you know, his culture taught him he had to be a tough guy. You don't ever talk about those things. You just be the strong, silent type. Well, you know what happens to the strong, silent type? They usually get struck down pretty early with things like heart attacks and strokes and those sorts of things. So So you could move the tools in any direction. If you see where you're in codependence with someone that modeled that, you know, maybe you had an older brother or a neighbor that you watched and you admired, and what you were really admiring was something pretty insane. So that might be the space where you might do the codependence worksheet and work with that. So each and every one of the tools will have a different application in bringing about those shifts.
All right, sounds good.
All right, sir, delighted. Glad to be on the team. Glad to have you on ours.
Yep, happy 4th of July.
All right, happy 4th of July and blessings. Love you.
Yep, you too, bye.
Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room that we need to be aware of, or anybody in the phone queue? And anybody who, by the way, is not in our control panel, we can't see that you're there. If you dial into 646-200-4169 and push 1, you'll be in conversation with us.
We don't have anybody else with their hand up, and there's nothing going on in the chat room, so I'll let you know if somebody pops in. Oh, we just had a hand go up. Area code 949, you're on the air. We just had another one go up after that one, too, so 949.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering really quickly, since there's another hand up. I think you said the gentleman that just went was Richard, and at times I will work with men with this process, and I think his list was, I couldn't have put a list together like that, which, you know, for him to dig that deep and really put that on paper is pretty profound, and I think if I shared it with some of my male clients, it might be able to start resonating some things for them. And if he was willing to share that list maybe with Jeannie in the chat room, then maybe she could email that to me. I think it would really help to support some other people to do some great forgiveness work.
Okay, well, I'm not sure whether or not he's in the chat room. If so, maybe he could do that. But otherwise, the other thing to do would maybe be to tap some of the folks you're working with into the show so they can listen to it directly as he was putting it out there, and tap into.
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, sure.
Their next level.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the ideas of the radio show, to give people that option.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Thanks.
All right. Delighted. Glad to be on the team. Glad to have you on ours.
Very glad to be here. Thank you.
All right. Delighted. Blessings. So, Jeannie, you've got another hand up.
We do. It's area code 541. You're on the air. Who do we have? Where are you calling from?
Hi. It's Julie from Ashland, Oregon. How are you?
Hey there, Julie from Ashland, Oregon. Welcome.
Okay, great. I might be in a breeze. Let me know if it's not coming. Let me know if it's not coming through too well. I do have an actual question. Okay, great. You know, when you were describing with Richard some suggestions on different worksheets he could use, and I've heard you do this with lots of people, including myself, and I'm recognizing my feeling of wanting to get more familiar with how to actually recognize and discern and choose which worksheet tool to use, from how there are so many. And I'm wondering if maybe someone could do a little summary or something that would describe instances and examples and themes of how to use, how to choose.
Julie, that is actually on the website. If you go to flygin.org and you go to the start here, at the top of the worksheets, it actually says, when do I use what worksheet?
Oh, thank you. Yay. That was easy. Thank you.
That's also a situation that is governed by what I like to call the rule of the three Ps. That is practice, practice, practice. You know, I don't think we can go by somebody else's assessment. It can certainly be a good guidepost, but ultimately it is your own practice with each of the tools. And what I've found over the years is that different people have different sensitive periods for different tools. I think about one woman, and you've probably heard me talk about this before, but she had been to Heartland probably six different years that she came to intensives, and she'd been involved in the work for about 15 years, and she simply would not do worksheets. She would not do reality management sheets. She hated it. And Jeannie and I were in Florida 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and she came to a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, and it was probably at least the 20th, maybe 25th workshop that she'd attended. And all of a sudden, instead of Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing, the reality management worksheet became her favorite tool. She wrote me about 3 months later and she said, "This is awesome. I don't know why I've been missing out on this for 15 years. This tool, this reality management worksheet, has become my best friend." But it took her 15 years to get to where that became her tool. So I suggest that while you can use those other things as guidelines, you also recognize that it is your own live process. We're not here to get you to copy somebody else's process. We're here to support you being original, an original, and becoming acquainted with each of the tools in a way that supports you and empowers you to know which tool to use and when. And it is the practice of doing that that really, really brings that about.
Okay, so basically I could practice by just listening to the DVD, whichever one I'm intuitively drawn to, and finding that worksheet demonstration within that DVD and just work along with it until I've trained it into myself enough to know its essence, I guess. And then probably I'll be able to recognize, oh, that's the one I really want to do.
Then you're an original. Then you're an original doing your work, not copying somebody else's work. And, of course, modeling, you know, someone else's modeling and copying them is a wonderful thing to do to start out. It can be really helpful. But ultimately what we're looking to do is to empower you in the practice of it, and it becomes your own. It becomes your original work, not the copy of someone else's work.
Okay, so that really speaks to me as a musician. An analogy would be when I go to learn a new composition by another composer, at first I'm learning the actual notes and the actual acclimation of my hands, I'm a pianist, to that piece. And once I've gotten it in myself enough and digested it enough, and I start to interpret it according to that composer's intentions, that is a living process while I'm doing it. But then it does take on this level of mastery where I'm actually living and breathing it in the moment, and it expresses in that moment through me.
Yes, and you know, there's a place for every musician to do scales. That's a great starting point. But ultimately, there comes a point where you got to stop doing scales and playing music. So
yeah.
Following someone else's modeling is playing the scales. And then really, truly being in your own original work is where you take it to a whole other level and you create your own composition. We're looking to empower and support every person being the original that the Creator created them to be, not a copy of what somebody else has done. Although, as you say, as a musician, you know, copying and playing someone else's composition can be very powerful and a great learning place. But then there comes a place where you've got to do improv. You've got to do your own thing with it in order to have the original happen.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Hey, delighted. Glad to be on the team, Julie. Delight to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you. I love this team. Have a great
one. So do I. It is awesome, isn't it?
I have a little slogan that came through for the 4th of July and Independence Day. And, you know, everybody gets into this cheering and rooting thing. And I was just getting, let's root for our roots. You know, we're rooting for our roots.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not that funny, but it's just like, you know, we're just looking at our core energy and where are we truly free and how do we live from those roots.
Yes, yes, for sure.
Okay.
All right, well, have a delightful and blessed July 4th, and we'll look forward to the next time we get eye to eye.
Yeah, I am looking forward. Thank you.
Bye. Okay, blessings. Lots of love. Bye-bye. So 646-200-4169 is the number. www.whyagain is the website. If you want to access the forgiveness work directly, it's all there free. If you go to the upper left-hand corner of whyagain.org, there's a link that says start here. When you click that link, that will take you into the chapter 24 from my book, the worksheet process itself, the latest format of the worksheet. And then there are 6 radio shows you can listen to as you build the brain cells for doing this work. And if you go back, Yeshua said that we had to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And so often he referred to people who seeing they could not see and hearing they could not hear. And a lot of people look at things on one level, and it's a primitive, fear-based level. Excuse me, I had a sneeze there. It's a primitive fear-based level. And so by being in the fear-based mind instead of the love-based mind that he said was the first law, they hear things on that fear-based level, and they have terror and fear about going to the next level. If you look in Matthew, it says, without a parable, he did not speak. Everything he said had a parallel meaning, had a deeper meaning, a deeper place to go. It was not designed to be literal. It was designed to invite people into literally building the brain cells. Well, you know, I think we can safely assume that to most everybody that he said, you had to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. He wasn't talking about physical eyes and ears. He was saying you've got to have the information in brain cells to understand it. And building brain cells doesn't mean building new physical structure. It's about putting new content, accurate content, in accord with his words and his actual teachings into your mind. For instance, one of them that I like to use as an example, you know, a lot of people get trapped in the fear-based identity of sin and sinner. And, you know, an example of building new brain cells around that would be to look at the Aramaic meaning of the word, what he was talking about when he used that word sin. And the word sin in Aramaic is an archery term. And when you fired at the target and you missed the bullseye, the scorekeeper yelled sin. It just meant you're off the mark, like take another shot. The Greeks turned it into a fear-based thing and an identity that we were supposed to buy. The thing you have to give up to buy the identity of sinner is the truth of who you are, the offspring of God, made in the image and likeness of love. And so if you don't have the eyes to see and the ears to hear that, then one buys into a lower identity instead of moving into the true identity. Gee, here we are, made a little lower than the angels, given a mind of strength and of clarity, the scriptures tell us. But if one buys that, doesn't know what that word sin means, doesn't have the brain cells for the truth of the meaning in Aramaic, then they can get locked into something that keeps them from building the brain cells for that deeper parallel meaning, that parable that he spoke of. Remember those words again. It's really important. Without a parable, he did not speak. Every word has a deeper meaning, and you have to build the brain cells for the deeper meaning in order to really be able to use what he taught. And it's pretty awesome when you start to incubate it and put it to work in your life. It's pretty cool. So 646-200-4169, if you put your hand up, I think you're first in queue. Jeannie, do we have a caller? The hand up. Got about 7 minutes left. Is your mute button on, sweetie? Hello, Jeannie.
Disconnected myself, so I had to turn myself back on.
Okay.
Nobody else has their hand up, so if someone presses one, they're next in line.
So we've got about 6 minutes left. Perfect timing for one more question. Who has a thought for us, something to share, a question for us? come on, I know you're shy and your voice might be shaky. Just take a breath and let go of that. I know that if we were sitting face to face, you'd have a question for me. So ask your question. How can we support you? How can we help you to integrate these teachings into your world and into your life so that they become fully functional as they were originally intended to be? The application of the tools is not necessarily an easy process. It takes some really committed and some really deep work to truly be able to apply these tools and understand them as they were meant to be understood. A simple surface means... Go for it.
Callers.
Oh, cool.
Okay,
well, let's give a listen.
They're both from area code 417. The first one is 417-766. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael, this is Julie. How are you?
Hey there, young lady. I'm blessed and highly favored. Happy July the 4th.
Thank you. You too. So I was wondering, in the past you have talked about somebody who has stored information and they hold on to that stored information and they don't really share it. And you said that I'm not exactly sure of your words. That's why my question, and it was something about what we don't express becomes our disease, something like that you said.
Well, there was a philosopher, I don't even remember who it was at this moment, who said every idea that does not become an ideal slays a power in us. That might be what you're referring to. And that when we see a higher ideal, i.e., we hear a man who says, love those who hate you, do good to those who despitefully use you, as we engage in that, that obligates us to actually do that, not pick up a gun to go shoot them because they happen to, you know, be on the other side of the world or be another nation or, you know, whatever it is, that we actually bring that into expression. And if we don't, then engaging in a higher understanding and not actually living it weakens us. Is that the idea you're referring to?
Yes. I also thought that you said something about, you know, like when we don't, like we hold on to things. Let's say we were in a close relationship and we hold on to things and we don't really, you know, tell our truth to our spouse or to some, you know, close relationship. Then you said I thought you pretty much said that becomes your disease process, that you're not expressing yourself, that you're really holding on to things. You were saying
My take on that one would be that when I don't tell the truth in a relationship, then I'm not actually home. I'm not really there in the relationship. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
All of a sudden, I got some noise in the background. Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Julie, Jeannie, hello.
I hear you.
I hear you, Michael.
Hello.
You must not be able to hear us.
Okay.
No, I hear him.
So, Julie, I remember exactly what you're talking about, and he did say that it's failure to communicate what's going on inside you that kills you, that initiates our death.
Yes, and, that's what I remember.
And there's a line from the Thomas Gospels that says, if you don't bring out what is within you, it will kill you. And if you bring out what is within you, it will save you, heal you. And,
perfect.
And Michael was talking very much, you have it, almost verbatim, that if you don't communicate, it's the lack of communication. If you're holding on to your anger, your fear, your sadness, if you don't talk about it, get it out, and heal it, it will kill you. It's the lack of communication that initiates our death.
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you for picking that up for me, Dr. Tim.
Great. That's perfect. I got it. Thank you.
So that's why, Julie, the first line of the commitment is, it's right up front, I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth. Because if I can't tell the truth, if I can't bring the truth that's going on in my mind, and let's say that my truth is wrong, my truth is based in hostility or fear, if I can't bring it forward in the presence of love, I'm going to tend to stay stuck in it. And that energy is locked somewhere in the cell, destroying the cell. But when I can create a space of love and of safety to bring those things forward and they're exposed to love, then because the actual presence of the love of God is so powerful, it dissolves all of the insanity. But as long as I keep the insanity hidden within, then, yeah, it is literally my disease. Anyway, we are down to the last few seconds. We appreciate you being with us. Check out the website for our intensive schedule. We start on July 29th with a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive. And we look forward to sharing some time with you and create the best year yet of your eternal life. By the way, bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.